What's up, Karen?
What is up? How are you?
I'm good. And we have no Darren tonight because
He's
he's
busy.
slacking. Actually, say he's not feeling well, so I hope he feels
Oh,
better.
gross. I
We're
have plans.
recording this show because tomorrow I'll be on the road heading to my Thanksgiving plans for Thanksgiving. But we didn't want to leave everybody without a show again because we had a couple
No.
weeks without a show. So Karen and I are just kicking it. We're going to talk. It's Tuesday night as we're recording this, and we're going to talk about some of the big stories that are happening in Colorado. Some of them are pretty stupid,
Great.
and some of them are
Great.
funny. Some of them are thought-provoking. Some of them are downright seditious.
More fun in the Centennial State. We can get these commies out. I watched the Rocky Mountain Heist again for like the fifth time
Oh, I
last
should
night.
do
It
that.
always gets me fired up.
Yeah, it makes you mad.
Got some plans for that. Because I don't know what happened to Michelle Malkin, but it's weird. Yeah, if you ever want to know what happened, and I hear people ask on a national level, what the hell happened to the state of Colorado? Watch the Rocky Mountain Heist. It is the most informative 45 minutes of your life. On that subject, at least, it will tell you exactly how Colorado was hijacked by the four gang of four. Yep, it will tell you exactly what
Tell you
happened.
how
It's their
Colorado was hijacked
oldest
by a
one.
group of gay billionaires, tried to turn us communists, succeeded for a large part, but making a comeback
We
here in
are on the
Centennial
mend.
State. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Colorado Show, the most serious. No, I can't even say it anymore because I
Fine.
can't be serious about the news in the state because it's pretty retarded.
Not.
Yeah, so it's very unserious, that's for certain. Just saw while that intro was playing, I saw your tea, and I'm jealous. I'm like, oh, I should have made tea. It's cold,
Of tea.
Greeley. I don't know if down by you, but up here by me, it smells like Greeley. I didn't check. I don't.
Oh,
It's
no,
snow.
I don't get the Greeley smell, but
Yeah,
I
well,
will
when
say
it smells like
probably.
Greeley, it's usually gonna snow, but let's see what we got.
And it is
Castle Rock, what is that temperature?
probably 32.
25.
Whoa,
This
that's
is
why I
very
have
cold.
a lot of
I don't see any
tea.
snow though, so, but tea sounds good.
Not until next week. We are getting snow next week,
Yeah.
finally. Yeah,
Yeah.
gonna be fun.
So it's weird without Darren. He usually
Know.
provides a unique angle and keeps us both grounded in the fact that the whole world is in our communist country of Colorado. But probably gonna get a little weird tonight because he's not here to play that role. Before we do, we're going to hear from our incredible sponsors of the show. We will be right back.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, CPAC, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
And we are back.
We're back.
All right. So when you and I came in the studio tonight, I'm like, I'm annoyed by a lot of the privileged white men running our state.
Well, good gracious. Me too. The gang of, I guess there could still be four. There's top of mind are the three we talked about, but I'm sure we could add another one for good measure.
Yeah, well, first up, we're going to talk about Michael Bennett.
Mushmouth. Let's go.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to play the video, which is freaking amazing. Great. Colorado needs leadership that puts working people first, holds powerful interests accountable, and builds a state that is affordable for everyone. I look forward to working with our next governor, Michael Bennett, to deliver his vision for every Coloradoan. Here we go.
My name is Pink and
legislator
I'm
says tax the rich. Senator who authored the child tax credit.
Wow.
Endorsing Michael Bennett for governor. Passing policies for working people together.
My name is Pink.
Okay. So legislator who says tax the rich is worth $15 million.
I'm sure he doesn't mean himself. Taxes for thee, but not for me. You see.
Yeah, I thought she was DSA.
She is. Card-carrying member, my God.
I think
God.
She's trying to rebrand.
Yeah, just like they're trying to do with Jasmine Crockett, and it didn't work, so they had to bring her back to being Laquita again. This Yoka, what's her name? Yoki. She wants to elevate. And even in the communist state of Colorado, the Centennial State, she's going to have to pretend to be moderate.
Yeah.
Centrist, if you will, even maybe libertarian, but nobody's buying it.
It's actually interesting that you say that because I had pulled up Deep's Twitter page share a different post. But actually, you just made me think of this one. When I was looking for the other post, I saw this one and I felt a certain way about it. A guy in New York City polling under 1% just 8 months ago before the election and outspent 10-1 still beat a candidate with universal name recognition and the state's most famous political dynasty. We're in full, quote, throw out the establishment, quote, end quote, era. See GOP versus the Tea Party 2010 to 2016. GOP versus the Tea Party 2010 to about 2013 did not go well for the Tea Party.
Right.
And even up to 2016. And of course, you know, President Trump was not supposed to win. I think that the GOP establishment, just a word of caution to the DSA. If you think this is your time for your moment, I applaud you. I think Yara probably feels like tacking back towards the middle, towards the establishment. It's certainly from her endorsement. Seems like that's the play that she's making. But if you decide to stay full-blown populist, destroy the establishment, this is our moment. Just know that they will do everything they can to destroy you. See Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign and what the GOP establishment did to her.
Yep.
Thanks this is the election, of course, that's the 2012 presidential election where Barack Hussein Obama won re-election, also got the biggest campaign finance violation history, although that was just the result of the lawsuit that came out in 2013. It's actually for the 2008 election. I personally believe that was primitive smurfing, and Act Blue was founded in 2004. They're under federal investigation right now for money laundering. So,
love it. I think they're finally starting to get a little bit nervous when they weren't nervous before. They have a little bit of a jolt because, you know, Respucia, Letitia James, and James Comey were. The cases were supposedly dismissed. And, you know, they...
Because of the prosecutor being illegitimate.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Lindsay Halligan, who is killing it.
Yeah, I should say. They allege that Lindsay Halligan was illegitimately appointed. However, the Trump DOJ announced today they plan to appeal that ruling.
Yes. So good. There wasn't anything submitted by... I think it was 5:15 this afternoon, but they definitely, I know that they're going to appeal because this is bullshit. More lawfare, more activist judges. I should have sent you that Mimi I made earlier because I could not resist.
I love it when you say Mimi.
It's so funny. It's a Mimi. I made a Mimi about Judge Bosberg. I said that he overturned President Trump's decision to pardon the turkey for Thanksgiving. So
it was, that's a good one. He pardoned two turkeys. I heard two. Oh. I heard secondhand. I did not actually see if the president really said this, but that he was going to name them Chuck and Nancy, but then it would make it impossible to pardon them. Did he actually say that, or did somebody just make that joke?
I didn't catch that, but that's okay. Yeah.
I like that.
I like it a lot. It's true. What are we supposed to say? And we're here. Good God, we are in the state of Colorado where Jenna Griswold supposedly resides. So we know about pardoning yourself. We know about
certainly. Yeah.
Charges
investigating yourself and your friends. Yeah.
You investigate yourself and you have found yourself to do absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah, so that's actually a good segue to the deep post that I actually, I lost it. Where'd it go? That I actually wanted to talk about.
Oh, let's.
Here we go.
Yes. This is very, very important.
Please. All right. Hypothetical question. Should Jared Polis release Tina Peters? There shouldn't be an apostrophe there. Deep. That's for possessive things. If Trump gave us $100 million in unique Fed subsidies to Colorado, like, is there any amount of money Trump could bribe the state of Colorado in order to free Tina? Crazy we're even talking about this. Now, here's the thing. The thing is that we're talking, this person and the platform on which he stands talks about criminal justice reform. Tina Peters... The four felonies that she was convicted of. Now, people feel all kinds of ways about her, largely because the headlines have made people feel all kinds of ways about her. But the facts are that Tina Peters was convicted of four felonies. They were lying to Jesse Romero, making a misrepresentation, I think is the actual term, to Jesse Romero of Secretary of State's office, Danny Casillas of Secretary of State's office, I think, and one other person whose name escapes me in Mesa County IT. Three people. One misrepresentation. That misrepresentation was that Conan Hayes was Jerry Wood. Jerry Wood was Conan Hayes. Finkel, Einhorn, Finkel. It was a misrepresentation of who was in her office. Now, why was that important? Why was that necessary? Why did they misrepresent who was in her office? Because Jenna Griswold had come down with arbitrary COVID rules and said, you can only have somebody that's a member of your staff in your office because COVID. And prior to that, Tina could have whoever she wanted in her office during the trusted bill. But because of COVID, they locked it down. They made the decision to obtain credentials for Jerry Wood and represent Conan Hayes as Jerry Wood during the trusted build. He observed the trusted build and took images of the machines before and after the trusted build. The misrepresentation of Conan Hayes as Jerry Wood to those three officials are three of the felonies. The other felony is conspiracy to do that. Conspiracy to do criminal impersonation and represent him as that. The thing that really irritates me about this is that I'm pretty sure that the detail that Conan Hayes was Jerry Woods is stipulated in this case, meaning the state didn't have to prove it. It is the convicting detail for the four felonies. It is the piece of evidence that convicts on the four felonies. She was not allowed to bring any of the defenses, affirmative defenses that she wanted to bring to trial to show why she did what she did, her intent, the cause that she had to do what she did, why she believed that doing things the way that she did. She wasn't able to talk about any of that.
Right.
And the detail that convicted on the four felonies, the piece of evidence was stipulated. The state did not have to prove it at all. And so that is a show trial. And they threw the book at her.
Yes,
and
they did.
So the fact that the criminal justice reform people are publicly advocating for her to stay in there for all 9 years.
Right.
That's for essentially lying to Jenna Griswold's office. There's a Mesa County person in there as well, was introduced to Conan Hayes as Jerry Woods, I believe. Felony. That's the crime. Now, you will hear people say, well, she meddled in elections. She tried to steal our democracy. She's stolen leaked passwords. Actually, she didn't meddle in elections. They didn't touch elections at all. This was the middle of 2021 when this happened.
She did her job.
There weren't elections happening.
Right. She did her job as the clerk.
The very definition of cruel and unusual punishment. And the fact that the people who advocate to let pedophiles out, people who rape children, who advocate to let them out, right? They think that Tina Peters, a sick lady who, you know, she made the misrepresentation. Jenna Griswold lies to us all the time. Jenna Griswold has been caught in multiple cover-ups just last year. And a campaign finance violation this year that her friend Phil Weiser investigated. And then they all just said, oh, that's okay. Reasonable prosecutor would bring that one, I guess, because Jenna and off into the sunset.
Yep. Again, just incidentally, I'd like to interject for just a moment and ask you to please, for those who may not be fully aware, because this is extremely important and it gets lost in conversation and translation sometimes, but could you please just briefly explain the trusted build? Because that is very important with regard to this whole case and why it's so important. And for the purpose of retaining the information, election information that was supposed to be retained in the state of Colorado. Is it 2 years, 24 months? Or is it 36 months? I cannot remember.
22 months federally, 24 months in the state of Colorado. And yes, I will. And also,
trusted build.
Yeah, you gave me you teed me up to tell everybody that on Friday on my channel, rumble.com/myamerica, I'm doing a marathon, parts 1, 2, and 3 of the Tina Peters saga that I did with Alpha Warrior and CanCon, Cannabis Conservative. All three parts of this have played on Alpha and Brian's channels. I kind of dropped the ball and didn't do it at the same time. So I'm doing a marathon on Black Friday on my channel, My America, on Rumble. The link tree that's on the screen right now, you can find the links to all my stuff there, but that's happening. But the trusted build is basically they install a new golden image on the machines to make them, to prepare them to be ready for the next election. And because there's federal elections every 2 years, but there's an election every year, right? There's usually ballot measures, local races, you know, different things happening, school boards and whatnot happening in the off years. So there's an election happening pretty much every year. And so there is a process through which they go after the election, they go through and they get the machines ready for the next election. As part of that, they install a new image on the machine. Now, they tell the clerks, train the clerks in a very specific way of how to take images. The images that they take do not contain things, include things like operating system logs. There's a dispute in the law about this, you know, people making claims. It has not, to my knowledge, been before a court, but it should be because it's important. The operating system logs are Matt Crane, for example, of the executive director of the CCCA. He will tell you all of the files that are required to be preserved have been preserved. So when the clerks do the image that they're trained to take before the trusted build happens, then they've preserved everything that's required to be preserved by law. Now, what happens in the trusted build is they wipe the machines and they install a new image. So they're deleting a whole bunch of stuff. 29,000 log files in Mesa County, according to the first Mesa report. I think it's the first Mesa report. 29,000 log files were deleted. Matt Crane and the experts, not technical experts, just experts, they will tell you that the operating system logs aren't important and they're not required to be retained. And so the fact that the machine wipes them, that the trusted build wipes them, is no big deal. This is where the dispute is, because according to HAVA and the voluntary voting system guidelines that come out of HAVA, the system logs are very important. And in the ecosystem of cybersecurity broadly, if you're wiping the operating system logs, you're wiping potentially evidence. Yes. But we take the position that there can't be a crime. Right. From an election standpoint, if you think there's a crime, you're an election denier and a threat to democracy. So we destroy the audit trail. And then if you ask questions about it, you get locked up for 9 years, apparently.
At least that's how they do it now.
That's what this was about, was they're doing that thing to wipe the machines. Tina Peters was like, hang on a second. You know, right. She had people, technical experts, other people coming around her and saying, hey, they're going to wipe the machines. They're going to wipe these logs. We need these logs. If we're, you know, going to know what happened in the 2020 election, we need to have these logs. If we don't have these logs, then we've lost, you know, the ability to know things. And so they decided to take those images, one before and one after the Trusted Build happened. And those are the images that were put out on torrents. They were downloaded by people all over the world. They've been analyzed by experts all over the world. There's been 4 reports produced on them. And we go through in the second part of the Tina Peters saga that will be on my channel on Friday. We go through, part 2 goes through all of the stuff that's in the Mace reports. Part 2 is big. Part 1 is like, who is Tina Peters? What is this case? What are the charges? What are the, you know, things that we need to know? Part 2 is what was not allowed at trial. What's all the stuff that was not allowed to be presented at trial. And then part 3 is kind of the conclusion of the trial, the sentencing, the appeals process, et cetera. So that's on Friday.
That's going to be good. I urge everybody to watch. This is a hot story right now. The president has taken notice. He has actually given kind of an order to Jared Polis in this state several times to release her, and it has been ignored. So these individuals think that they're empowered, including Jenna Griswold, who seems to get away with everything. And people are actually sick of this shit, I think, at this point, because I am. And it makes absolutely no sense that during the trial, if you would, I can't wait for this thing on Friday. So while I'll have my earbuds in listening to that while I'm watching football. That's Thursday. So never mind. I'll just
be listening. There's some college football on Friday too.
Yeah. College football on Friday, I think, but NFL on Thursday, but you
Dallas, right? Isn't it always Dallas?
Well, are they playing the Broncos?
I don't know. I just feel like Dallas always plays on Thanksgiving, don't they?
I don't know. I haven't watched that panel.
I'll look it up. Just one thing you said, like I believe in the Constitution, and President Trump cannot give orders to Jared Polis to release a prisoner that was in state court. Right now, there are people out there that think he can and keep saying that he should and keep yelling at him and saying that he's a bad guy because he hasn't. I actually think that would be unconstitutional for him to do. This question that these guys are kicking back and forth about, you know, bribing the state of Colorado. I mean,
I don't like that idea either.
That was weird. I 100% don't support, I think this just broke. I don't support the bribing of the state of Colorado. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, totally.
Oh. Weird. That's so weird. I definitely don't support the bribing of the state of Colorado. However, the use of federal funds as a pressure point to get the kind of policy changes that you want is something that Democrats are well familiar with. See everything climate change.
Oh,
right.
Indeed.
So that's not novel, and it's not out of the realm of what levers that the Trump administration can push. And Democrats will try to position that as bribing the state. But here's the thing: the state of Colorado is weaponized government, and there are a dozen examples of that just in the realm of elections.
Yes.
Then get into parents' rights stuff. Then get into energy, the energy sector in the state, the ag sector in the state. Let's talk about how the DSA-led government of Colorado uses its power to affect political change. So, you know, if the Trump administration decides that they're going to base discretionary subsidies to the state on things like, well, we're not going to support states that are weaponizing their justice departments and their investigatory apparatuses against the residents that have the wrong political ideology in that state, they absolutely are within their power to do that. And oh, by the way, they should. Because the Colorado Democrats have been absolutely despicable scumbags to conservatives in the state of Colorado for years. So spare me. And the only reason that everybody is cheering for keeping Tina Peters in prison for 9 years for lying to public officials, the same public officials that lie to us all the time. The same public officials, by the way, that were witnesses in Tina Peters' case, talking yep. about the importance of BIOS passwords and how critical they are, right? Whoopsie, and how horrifying this whole thing is. While they're on the stand in Mesa County giving that testimony, the BIOS passwords in Jenna Griswold's office are on the website to wow. over 600 devices across the state of Colorado. And what do? They investigate themselves. They decide that nothing is wrong and everybody yep. goes on their merry freaking way. But yep. Tina Peters gets the book thrown at her for lying. Jenna Griswold, Deputy Secretary of State Chris Beall, on a recorded line with Adams County Clerk Josh Zeigelbaum saying, well, we weren't going to tell the clerks because it would cause a media storm. And sure did anybody go to even, did anybody even get investigated? No, because you're all in the same club. And that comes up in this guy's comment. Listen to, look at the first comment on this. It's a crazy question, but I think it's worth taking a principled stand on this. The value of PR that MAGA will get from her release is worth more than $100 million. The principal from Zach P. Wow. at Blue Sky, because he's a massive pussy, the principal that he's referring to is loyalty and adherence to party. It's not the principal of the DSA or the Democrats for criminal justice reform and not using the criminal justice reform as a form of political punishment, which they claim to be for, but when it's their own political opponents, they're like, no, we have to take a principled stand and keep her in because MAGA might get publicity out of letting her out. That's not principle.
That's not principle. And that's damn near criminal for even saying it. It's not, yeah. but it, spare
in the me. Colorado, in the communist country of Colorado, you cannot be prosecuted for saying nasty things about conservatives.
Oh, but you it's can be prosecuted if you are a conservative and you say you misgender someone, that could be a problem for you.
Yeah. I mean, we were targeted. You posted a message telling people to check out your buddy's gun shop. And right. that was a threat against minority voters or some shit.
That was a threat. That's yeah. how I ended up with the KKK laws and yeah. things of that sort. The NAACP is a fraud and should never, ever get another dime of federal money. I don't know why that has not happened yet. I mean, across the board, not just Rocky Mountain chapter, but the NAACP is completely ineffective. And by the way, why is it that this Jenna Griswold claims that she, being the Secretary of State, is protecting my vote as a minority voter? She never protected my vote. She handed my vote to illegal aliens. Yeah, I don't consider her effective in her job at all. And in fact,
her job is to talk to MSNBC.
MS Now. MS Now.
Did they change? I don't know anything about this.
Oh God! They're not in MSDNC anymore. They're now. I've seen the commercials, dude. They're MS Now. They have completely.
It's not just like their streaming service or something. They actually rebranded their name.
It's MS Now. But it's with the same.
That's her job. Her job is to go out there and say whatever talking points things she's supposed to say. When the BIOS passwords thing happened, they sent her on Kyle Clark to try and rehab her image. And Kyle Clark, for you know, to his credit, for once, had some hard questions. I still think he helped her land the plane, but she went out and all she could say was two sets of passwords. There's two sets of passwords. So it's no big deal that my office put one of the passwords in the two passwords. One of them was on the website exposed during two election events when, you know, more people than ever have access to machines because they're open election events. And there were two of them, the primary and the early voting part of the general, and the passwords were exposed. They did not tell the people that had the equipment. So they could not know if there had been a breach or if any breach was contained or if there was any exposure without actually going to where the machines are. So we're told, right? Without going to where the machines are and checking the machines, you can't know actually if there's a breach, right? You certainly can't breach it that way, except if they can know whether or not there was a breach from a central location in the Secretary of State's office, and they don't actually have to go out and talk to the clerks and be where they check the equipment and check the local area networks. Excuse me, when there is a supposed breach, right? If they don't have to do those things, then everything that they've told us about the decentralization of elections and the machines in counties across the way not being networked, right? Well, that's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. If they can know that there's no breach without actually going down into the counties Correct. And evaluating the machines and
checking the
system log files and things in those, if they can know that from a central location, then it kind of proves what Tina Peters' reports showed.
We were in that court hearing when the Libertarian Party brought the lawsuit against her. And this was something that came up. This sanctimonious witch sat there and said, oh, you know, there's that they've all determined that there's absolutely no effect on the election that just took place.
That's so the no story they want changed. To tell.
Yeah. 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 Nothing to see here. No mm-hmm. votes were changed. Nothing has happened. And it's no, wait a minute. Yeah, the BIOS passwords were left open for like, what, 4 months?
Well, there's two sets of passwords. There's two sets of passwords, Karen. There's two sets of passwords.
While you're sitting there in court in July waiting for the sentencing of Tina Peters, the passwords were open.
While they're giving that testimony, their passwords in the Secretary of State's office were exposed.
What?
And then they lied about it and tried to cover it up. And it wasn't until the GOP released the fact that they knew that they actually had the record that those were up on the website and they were exposed. And then they were like, well, we were mitigating it and it's totally fine. It's like, well, can't mitigate it without talking to the clerks. Well, yeah, but that would cause a media storm. So what about election security? But election security will give us a media storm.
Does the Trump administration know that this happened to this degree? Because I don't know of anywhere else in the country that it is this bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the good folks in Michigan and Georgia and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin.
Okay, I forgot about
kick
that.
It over to Arizona, California, Nevada. Yeah, I think it's this bad everywhere because it's the same handful of vendors doing the same centralized shit. Centralization creates complexity and complexity breeds and hides corruption. And we have a massive corruption problem in Colorado and across the nation because these people have operated without any meaningful oversight, without any scrutiny for, you know, long time.
But what
and,
did you call this?
The part, the like, two main part, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party Inc.
together.
Right? Yeah. Is a unipartisan cabal. And they're all invested in keeping elections exactly the way they are. Except we need to expand, you know, access more. Let's make sure that we can get all of the phantoms all of the way in.
Eric Swalwell, he's running for governor. He said, just call your voting.
Yeah. Well, that's also a Matt Crane special. Matt Crane was the poster boy for global mobile voting. I used to have that. Do I still have that video?
Remember when you told me when we met, you said Colorado was the fraud test kitchen. This is where the start. This was the start of, I would say, to the degree that it ballooned to the biggest fraud in history, I think it started here in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't have it handy. But he was actually in 2022 NAS. It was in Iowa, the National Association of Secretaries of State. It was a poster, global mobile voting, and it had Matt Crane's face. Arapahoe County Clerk, it said. It was an old job title. He forgot to update his LinkedIn, I think. But yeah. Poster boy, literal poster boy literal for mobile voting boy. Is, by the way, the kind of ultimate point of escalation for election technology issues. That's not a vendor, right? Because you go to the vendor and, you know, if you don't go to the vendor, you go to Matt Crane. Do you go to a technical expert in the Secretary of State's office? Nope. Go to Matt Crane. It's technical expert in the clerk's office? No.
No.
Nope. Matt Crane. Matt Crane and the vendors. Sounds like a terrible band.
One stop.
All right. So we're going to hear from a couple more of our incredible sponsors of the show. And then we're going to talk about the Seditious Six because one of the Seditious Six is seditious in Colorado. Yes. I'll be right back.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and Ira. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
The wait is finally over. My towels are back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, regular $69.98, now only $39.98. Towels that actually work. What a concept. And that's not all. Check out our MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even kings, regular $119.98, now only $29.88. And how about our limited edition premium MyPillows, made with Giza cotton and a designer gusset, made exclusively for you to thank you for all your support. Queens, $17.98. Kings, only $19.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get My Towels for $39.98, MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, and our limited edition MyPillow Queens, $17.98, and Kings, only $19.98. Quantities won't last long, so order now.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com and use promo code CDM. That's Charlie Delta Mom Donnie.
Muhammad. I can't help it. Every time.
The Seditious Six.
It's funny.
How you feel about this?
They're insane. They knew what they were doing, but then again, they just thought they would be able to get away with it. Cause a media storm, get everybody on their side, and it turns out you can't do these things, especially when you have ties to the military. I think a couple of them are just like Alyssa Slotkin, their CIA, and the Houlihan, funny looking one with the curly perm. I think she's CIA, or no, it was the other one. The other one, not Houlihan.
Maggie Goodlander is Jake Sullivan's wife.
Oh, then that old
one with the curly hair. Oh, here's the video. Let's watch. You want to watch the video?
Yeah, let's just watch it.
I think we should.
Yeah, refresher course here.
Should. It's been a few days. They actually are. In a few days, so let's check them out.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly. Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow. I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Congressman Jason Crow.
Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military
and the intelligence community
who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us.
What?
You all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad, but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear.
Yeah, you.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now,
you don't
more
have
than
anybody's
the
back.
American people need you. We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
So note that it starts with the CIA agent, senator, the CIA senator, and it ends with the CIA senator. She's kind of comes off as a bit of a mastermind for this thing. But, you know, my biggest takeaway from this is that they were saying, listen, if you get an order to arrest a U.S. senator or a U.S. congressperson, please don't do it. And I happen to think that's probably a lawful order, certainly at this point after all the sedition.
Interesting. I hadn't gone to that degree. I actually thought they were gearing more toward the Venezuelan drug boats getting blown up and the ICE agents. Well,
they haven't named any specific illegal orders, unlawful right. orders.
And so we can only actually avoiding the answering the question as far as what I have seen in their interviews on MS Now and other
we're not calling stations. It that.
They have been avoiding. They were asked. I know that Alyssa Slotkin was asked directly. Jason Crow was asked directly. Mark Kelly was asked directly. What are the illegal orders to which you refer? Well, what we're saying is what had happened was they don't have a direct answer for any illegal orders per se. They're just saying don't obey illegal orders. What are the illegal orders there, Alyssa? What are the illegal orders, Jason? And I don't believe he's a paratrooper and a damn ranger. You need to take that ranger tab off, you pussy. Oh, gosh. He does something. He needs to take that ranger school.
He's so condescending. So I didn't serve the country in the military. So I can't, you know, you have a greater level of sacrifice than I have. Certainly. I can't say anything about his service. I can say that he comes off as an arrogant, condescending prick, like all the time.
Yes, he does. And he uses his military service to stand on these absolute nonsense. These nonsense suggestions. These are just suggestions. These are rich politicians. As I have said before on the Colorado show, what, last week or the last time that we were on, none of you are active duty. You're not active. You are not the chain of command. You do not disobey. Excuse me. And additionally, I don't recall any of these individuals saying a word when Joe Biden used OSHA to force shots on soldiers, used it on civilians, used the shots, and soldiers were held down. That is, excuse you, illegal orders. I've seen the videos where the higher ranked soldiers would hold down the lower ranked soldiers and force them they would jab the needle in their arm. Dude, that's how's it you missed that? So that's not illegal what Joe Biden did to force people.
You can't refuse that order.
Medical procedures that they didn't ask for, and he forced it on all federal personnel. I refused. Yeah. And I never got any of that crap, thank God, to this day, because I'm not with the federal government anymore. But this is
which we're all happy unlawful. About.
Girl, I am so, I talk more. I can say what I want now. And I'm very happy about that. But what are the illegal orders? Who are these people? I think Houlihan and Jake Sullivan's wife, they're clout chasing, and so is Jason.
Oh, I think Jake Sullivan's wife is a little more involved than that. But let's read the official statement from the Department of War that came out yesterday. Department of War has received serious allegations of misconduct against Captain Mark Kelly, U.S. Navy retired. In accordance with the Uniform Code of Military Justice, 10 U.S.C. 688, and other applicable regulations, a thorough review of these allegations has been initiated to determine further actions, which may include recall to active duty for court-martial proceedings or administrative measures. This matter will be handled in compliance with military law, ensuring due process and impartiality. Further official comments will be limited to preserve the integrity of the proceedings. The Department of War reminds all individuals that military retirees remain subject to the U.S. military code of military justice for applicable offenses, and federal laws such as 18 USC 2387 prohibit actions intended to interfere with the loyalty, morality, or good order and discipline of the armed forces. Any violations will be addressed through the appropriate legal channels. All service members are reminded that they have legal obligation under the UCMJ to obey lawful orders and that orders are presumed to be lawful. A service member's personal philosophy does not justify or excuse the disobedience of an otherwise lawful order.
So, I reiterate, they have they've been asked in a public forum on these channels, news channels, as it were, what were the unlawful illegal orders?
Yeah.
Well, I can't name it right now.
They're stuck.
Then why did you make the video?
Well, they're stuck because if they say he gave an unlawful order and name one and it's not, then they're, you know, potentially opening themselves up for liability that way. If they say, as they're saying, you know, well, I don't know, there weren't any, then it lends credibility that this was only intended to interfere with the military.
Correct.
So either answer they give, they're kind of screwed, which is great because they deserve everything. They deserve every single bit of that.
Every bit of punishment and every bit of lashing from the public, because they're right now, it's the court of public opinion, and the crank far left media is running cover for them. But then they're also holding them to account at the same time. Alyssa Slotkin said, well, what she was referring to was potential illegal orders that could happen in the future that would cover any illegal unlawful orders.
But she's admitting she doesn't have cause to make
that
statement.
Yes, she admitted it. I think, was it MS Now? Because
stop calling it that. It's stupid. We're not calling it that.
Why make it? They're rebranding.
Don't adopt their stupid rebrand language. We're not doing that.
But it's the same people, the same screwballs. It's just a different name. And I think that MS Now is supposed to be more of the trying to get into the podcast space. They're too late. They should have done this 10 years ago. They're too late. They're like everybody else is established. They're out of,
well, and they have no credibility left, right?
And like, there's that.
Yeah, certainly the Morning Joe people and the Maddow Report people.
Oh my God.
All right. So I think my favorite member of the Trump administration is Stephen Miller. I don't know who your favorite is.
I love Stephen Miller. He cracks me up. He has a dry sense of humor. And it's kind of a Frasier-esque sense of humor, and I think it's adorable. Who are some of the other unsung heroes?
Well, the video is Stephen Miller, so we can talk about who our other favorites are after, but I was just trying to tee up Stephen Miller talking about the Seditious Six.
Mr. Miller, what should happen to the Seditious Six?
Well, they should be held accountable under the law and under the Uniform Code of Military Justice for a seditious conspiracy against the United States of America. This is completely open and shut, straightforward. What is the motivation? Why would six members of Congress, selecting specifically for individuals with a CIA or military background, record a carefully written, carefully produced, slickly edited video messaging directly?
Such a great point that he's making. This was scripted. The making of the video is a meeting of the minds to do this. So you've got your conspiracy, and the video itself proves the meeting of the minds. Carefully scripted, very carefully selected words, right?
To members of our clandestine services and our armed forces, telling them to disobey orders from their superiors, telling them that they should individually determine whether an order is legal or illegal and defy it. Individuals who are exercising life and death power. The CIA engages in covert missions all over the world involving life and death decisions. The armed forces launches life-taking missions time and time again. They carry weapons. They control drones. They control missiles. They work on nuclear submarines. For what purpose would you ever deliver this message? As you said, it's to create a color revolution. Yep. It is the CIA playbook for trying to foment insurrection from within the military and within the CIA. Look, we saw after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, Jesse, members of the armed forces openly celebrating his murder. So think about that for a second. You have people in the armed forces, and it could be a tiny, tiny percentage, but yeah, who celebrated the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and then now they're getting a message from Kelly and from other members of Congress saying, defy your commanders, rise up and defy your superiors. That kind of language will get people killed. It endangers our national security. It is dangerously radicalizing. And it has all of the evidence of willfulness and intent. And when they go on TV and they say, well, we can't name what order is illegal, that proves the point. It was never about the law. It was breaking down the chain of command. Yep. The Democrat Party is openly engaged every day in trying to tear down democracy, whether it be judges who are binding the president with unlawful orders, releasing violent criminals back onto the street, trying to cement and protect the illegal alien invasion of America, and now fomenting rebellion inside the ranks of our armed forces and CIA.
Mm. Absolutely correct. Fire, yeah. Stephen Miller is thebomb.com. He is so right. Why in the world? And I'm glad he reminded us of that, how the service members who, by the way, were properly disciplined for celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So in uniform, by the way, in uniform.
Didn't we also have in Colorado Springs, this is not the Charlie Kirk thing, but that, remember that ICE raid on the nightclub? And there were a bunch of military folks rolled up moonlighting as security for a bunch of illegals at an underground nightclub.
Yep.
Never heard what happened to them.
Yeah, you won't hear what happened to them either. I'm not sure if that was handled because the military court has their own specific way that they deal with soldiers. And I just just know that from being in there for, you know, whatever, and working with judges as a federal employee also, who were still JAG attorneys and judge advocate generals who handled cases of soldiers who sometimes did extremely unsavory things. And they are dealt with in the military tribunals, as it were. So they're not handled in civilian court. So it just kind of depends. I'm not sure what happened to them, but this seditious six, they should know better. And they're extremely selfish they already know after watching the celebratory videos that were made by some soldiers, it was a small percentage, but it's still deeply concerning that they can just get to a few of them. They don't need all of them. They just need a few of them to sign up to just disobey any, what they mean is the orders we give to you, we're your chain of command now, and you need to listen to us. They fully intended to follow up with more videos. They did that. The first one they didn't think was going to get this kind of
that's a good point. I wonder if that it does make sense. That definitely makes sense that this was going to be kind of a series that they were going to have this kind of push. But it is. I mean, what's the point other than psychological warfare on the U.S. military? Make them question. Make them doubt. Make the chain of command is everything in the military.
Yes, indeed.
And particularly like Stephen Miller was talking about in clandestine services, where there's already a level of doubt, right, in terms of the power struggles and things that go on. You're already dealing with that, and then you're going to have not just random people on the internet saying, you know, oh, disobey orders, determine what a lawful order is, and, you know, only do the lawful ones that you agree with. That doing that, it's not just random people, it's sitting senators and congresspeople. So currently under the oaths they swore, and they're deploying that messaging on the U.S. military under color of authority, also using their former military service to bolster their authority in telling everybody to question the chain of command inside of the U.S. armed forces. I find that despicable. Again, I didn't serve, so I don't know. I can't, you know, claim that I feel a specific kind of way about this, except I see it transparently as a way to psychologically interfere. It's psychological warfare on U.S. service members. And that, to me, falls under the category of enemies foreign and domestic. Right. You are, if you're trying to undermine the stability, the readiness of the American warfighter by making them question and doubt the chain of command, you're an enemy of the American people and of the American military. And, you know, I found it when it was determined. I mean, it wasn't determined. It always was. When I realized that the only person that actually has some exposure, legal exposure under the UCMJ is Mark Kelly, I was kind of shocked by that, because I would think that no matter what branch, and again, you know, the Congress makes the laws, right? They're lawmakers. So they write them this way, I guess. But I would think that using your military service to bolster your authority, to call for insurrection, effectively sedition, whatever, couldn't you be like retroactively dishonorably discharged or something? You would think that you should have that hanging, you know, possibility. Oh, I can't hear you. Why can't I hear you? It might be on my side. It says my speakers are working. No. Oh. And she's gone. She'll be back in a second. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
What
are we doing? Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay, good. That was weird.
Yeah.
Yes. That's precisely why the Secretary of War, I love that. And that was, by the way, that's back. That title was used before.
Washington.
And then it became the Secretary of Defense. And now it's back to the Secretary of War. It's absolutely amazing. But he, Pete Hegseth, was very, very brilliant to point that out. Yeah, we can drag your ass back in. You will have to wear that uniform again. And you will have to sit in front of a tribunal panel of your superiors, because he was a captain. So, you know, he'll sit before colonels and those who are higher ranking than himself. And yes, they can retroactively destroy him. And that is precisely why it is so despicable.
Yeah, but I mean the rest of them.
Lissa Slotkin, I don't think she was in the military. I think she was just CIA. And who was the other one?
Crow.
The wife of
Goodlander.
Yeah, she wasn't in the military either. But I'm wondering why they said no. The two are just CIA. They're intelligence. But Jason Crow was. It's something to do with he's not active. It's something different with
Navy intelligence. Was Goodlander? She was military.
So she was military.
Yeah.
It makes it even more despicable that they would do that, because they know what happens to soldiers who get a negative on their DD-214. It destroys your freaking life. And there's already such a high rate of soldiers committing suicide. And things like that will drive a soldier to commit suicide when he cannot get a job, cannot go any further in his military career because he did some stupid crap while he was active duty. And I've heard about these cases, and it really is sad. So they're just selfish and despicable. They're set in their financial foundation, so they have money. They're all millionaires. yep. including Jason Crow. They all have money. Why would yep. you tell an E5 enlisted level five, essentially, or as on the military level, why would you tell them to ruin their career when
yeah.
they...
Why and they said, we have your back.
So sick.
Yeah, right, we have your back. We have your back. Okay, so what's going to happen when?
Yeah, let me call Jason Crow.
Yeah,
and say, yo, man, I'm sure he'll answer. Job. they're gonna be nobody's no. going. It's gonna be crickets. They're not gonna have your back. They don't have your back.
They don't have your
it's
back.
It's disgusting that yeah. they even and of course is some dumb representative from the state of Colorado. He pisses me off even more. That dude. I wish I could run against him. He
you should
him,
run against him.
Brittany Pedersen, or who is District 1? That's
Diana
DeGette.
Yeah.
They're
she's the one, as I understand it, that bought the Ukraine flags. They flew. They all waved when they passed their big old money laundering grift to the Ukraine. As I understand it, she's the one that brought the flags, the foreign flags that they waved on the floor of the People's House, allegedly.
Disgusting. They're all despicable. They're pissed they off are. Now because there's an end to that war coming. President Trump gave Zelensky till Thursday. You better figure it out, a little dude, or because mm-hmm. either way, you ain't getting no money. You ain't getting no Tomahawk missiles. We're done. We're done with Ukraine. Okay.
Yeah.
We're done. That was 2021.
Since the beginning, I've been done with the Ukraine.
Oh, girl, you and me both. I'm mm-hmm. done with Ukraine. I don't want to see Zelensky. I don't want to hear his name anymore. That's an Eastern European problem. It's got nothing to do with me. I can't pay my bills with Ukraine. So Russia I don't want to talk about
it. Let Russia deal with Ukraine. That's where I'm at with it. Well, we are out of time. And it's hilarious. We said, oh, we might have a shorter show today. I am thankful for you, my friend, Karen.
I am thankful for you.
I absolutely love
you. Darling, I love you. So
amazing. Been in it together for a long time, and it's good. I'm glad that we're chilling and analyzing the coming golden age together. It's been quite the road.
They're trying to keep it from us, but we are mm-hmm. going to have our golden age.
Yeah, and we will be back next week for the most unserious show in the Centennial State. We were probably without Darren, we were a little bit more serious today.
I don't know
if I like it. I feel like we need Darren's comic relief jumping in and reminding us about how retarded everything is. But we'll see you guys next week. Please do us a favor and hit the like button wherever you are watching us. Follow the channel you're watching us on. Reminder on Friday, parts 1, 2, and 3 of the Tina Peters saga on rumble.com/myamerica. I'm not sure what time I'm going to start it. Probably a little bit before noon mountain time. But I'll let you know on my social medias, and you can find everything at linktree.com/ashinamerica, Ash with an E, and at Real Karen Jean over on X. Give us a follow. We will we'll see you guys next time. Cheers, everyone,
happy
and happy Thanksgiving.